Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
We're All Ways to Recovery is an organisation. We've got some of the members of the organisation in the studio today, and we're going to hear all about the work that they do, events that they've got coming up as well over the course of the next month or so. We have David Dunn with us in the studio. David, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
We've got Elliot Stokes and also Andrew Cass. Andrew, Elliot and David from We're All Ways to Recovery. David, we're going to start with you. Just tell us about the organisation.
Well, we're an organisation to help people primarily with addiction problems, whether it be alcohol, drugs. Well, it goes right through, kind of, that covers the whole lot. Home and issues. We kind of, as soon as kind of people walk in through the door, we're about planting seeds and promoting change. That's what I believe that we're about anyway. I think if we're not doing that, we're ripping it off as soon as you come in the door. So we want to kind of help people to better their lives, especially from addiction, because, I mean, addiction can be pretty horrendous. And unfortunately, some people just don't see a way out of that. But we as a service, we want to show people that there is a way out.
I mean, it's in your name, Ways to Recovery.
It's all about recovery.
Yeah. And I guess Ways to Recovery, it's not just saying, don't worry, you'll recover. It's saying, we'll show you the way.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll hold your hand along that way. Tell us, what sort of people, what sort of addictions are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about alcohol addiction, drug addiction. We're talking about years people who have been on methadone scripts for years, you know, coming in. We still see our GPs. We'll have a chat. We'll talk about kind of where you want to go from there. It covers the whole lot. You can come in with housing issues. You can come in kind of off the streets. We've got a recovery cafe as well. We feed people. That's all about recovery. When you go in there, as soon as you walk in, you can talk to people, you can talk to peers, you can talk to staff. There'll always be someone around to do that. We're really about promoting change in people. That's what we want to do. Everyone who walks through the door can get recovery. There's no one who can't. Unfortunately, not everyone will. But we're under the basis that, look, give it a go. We'll certainly help you from whatever direction you want to go in.
In your experience and the work that you do within the organisation, the word addiction... I think in general parlance, general, you know, conversations, people say, oh, I'm a bit addicted to X, Y or Z, or I'm addicted to a TV show. Addiction as you see it. Can you describe sort of maybe some of the words, some of the examples that you see of what addiction actually means?
Well, addiction comes in all shapes, doesn't it? I mean, on a personal level, and I don't mind saying this, I'm a recovering addict. I'm an alcoholic, and I don't mind saying that. That phrase saved my life. If I didn't understand what that was, I would never work on it. It was invisible to me. And that the problem with me was I never got that. I couldn't believe that I was an alcoholic. I always thought I was better than that, but I wasn't. I kind of had to throw in a towel with it, and I choose not to drink. But that comes in many shapes and forms. The addiction comes in other areas, whether it be relationships, shopping, TV, social media. I know my personality will take me there if I let it. But it's dealing with what that is. If I didn't know what I was dealing with when it comes to that, there's just no way I was going to work on it. So I know I said I'm an alcoholic, but that one word saved my life because I understood that. The way I see it is I've got an allergy to alcohol, if you like, and if I had an allergy to peanuts because it was going to kill me, I'd stay away from peanuts. It's the same thing. Alcohol will kill me. I know it will. So I choose to live without it. But I do that on a daily basis. But I do that with help and support, which is what we want to show people. We want to show people that network of support, that help that's out there. Because there's a lot of it. There is a lot of it. It's just that, you know, some people just haven't seen that. It's what we do in the groups that we run at Widow Ways to Recovery. That's what we do with the helpline that we offer people with the Warrior Down stuff. You know, that after our support, that after our care. Recovery is big on our agenda. It's in the name, We're All Ways to Recovery. I don't think sobriety alone or abstinence alone from your addiction keeps you sober. I believe, and I think we believe as a service, that support and help and building up that network, that's recovery, whatever shape or form it might come in. I don't own the rights to recovery. People sitting in this room don't own the rights to recovery. But we've got so many ways out there that you find something that works for you. You find what kind of helps you get through that moment. Because if you just put down a substance, whether that be drugs, alcohol, anything else when it comes to addiction, and that's all you do, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But if you do it with help and support, being able to just pick up the phone, put on your shoes and getting out and engaging and talking and getting the right information from the right people, I think that helps a lot. Because at the end of the day, if you'd have told me there was a drink on the other side of that Mersey, I'd have swam it back in the day when I was in the madness to get it. So why wouldn't I do whatever it takes to avoid that first one with help and support? That's what we kind of want to promote.
When you've got sort of, human beings with addictions, and you talked about, that phrase that you use, that you're an alcoholic, and that was your pathway. That was your pathway out of there. How do you try and sort of separate the people from the addictions? Or are you able to do that, that people can make that admission and realise themselves that they have an issue, empowering them, if you like, to make that decision, instead of being able to say, look, I can see, because you'd be able to spot these people a mile off, I'm sure, because of, behavioural things and things like that. But presumably it's got to come from within first.
Yeah, I can't tell anyone that you have this, you've got this, you're dealing with this. That doesn't work. The way you kind of, I believe it works is this: I'm not telling people what to do. We're just telling people what kind of we're doing and what's out there. Telling someone who's got an addiction that they've got an addiction, they've heard it a million times. But if you're talking about our own personal stuff, if I'm in a group and when I start a group, I start off with an induction for about 20 minutes. And that's all about an idea of what you might be dealing with. And I'm not there to say to people that, you've got to stop drinking or you've got to stop taking drugs. Because you've got a problem with that. You make that decision yourself. But once you ID with whatever it is, you're able to work on that. So it's about kind of just coming from your own experiences. A lot of it's coming from your own experiences. But showing people that there are people out there that you can get some really good, sound, right advice from. Because you can go to the right people for the wrong advice all day long. I mean, by saying that, if I'm sitting in a pub drinking orange juice and I've just come out of a detox, I'm going to be listening to advice that might not be good for me. So we want to try and put you in touch with people, the right people who's going to give you the right advice and tell you what's available and what's out there. And your life doesn't necessarily have to be the way it's always been. If you're willing to make a change, then things will happen. If you're not willing to make that change, nothing's going to move for you.
I guess that it's about striking that balance between educating people without patronising people.
Exactly. I mean, the way it works for me was somebody put down a drink 18 months before me, a very good friend of mine. Name's Alan, I won't blow his anonymity out the water, but he never once told me what to do. The only thing he was doing was telling me what he was doing. And he was talking about kind of what he was dealing with and what happened and about recovery and about this network of people. It's things I'd never heard before. But what kind of happened was he was planting seeds. And even though I was in denial about it, because I was like, well, it's not me. How dare you say I'm an alcoholic? You can't tell him, called. Because we had that stigma around that. But the thing was, he wasn't. He was just telling me where he was coming from and who he was. And that them seeds kind of planted without me realising. I believe that my journey for me started then, because I was kind of, even though I was in denial, I was listening. And then that developed and promoted that change in me where did make a decision. It doesn't have to be the way it's always been. I don't have to die from this, because I thought that's the only choice he had.
I was going to say, were there physical sort of issues that were driving to you to the point where actually it something needed to change?
Yeah, I thought I did everything. I thought I did everything. I thought I could beat it, and that was my problem. I thought there's no way. See, I'd look at people on the street who were homeless drinking cans and asking for money, and my opinion was, well, I'm not as bad as that, when it doesn't matter whether I'm sitting in my house or a beach in the Bahamas. When I put in a drink, my thinking, my thoughts and my actions are exactly the same as anyone else who's got a problem with this, or a drug, because, to be fair, I use both. I dabble with both. I say alcohol because that was my first choice, so I would always go back to that. But like I say, without owning that, there was no way I was going to work on that, because I couldn't. How can you work on something that's invisible? And that was my problem. I was better than the average person who had a drink problem. I was on a pedestal. I was arrogant. I resorted myself to, because when you're in that place, your thinking's not right. And I resorted myself to death by drink, because I knew it was going to kill me. I really didn't care. But then I was shown something else. I was shown a different way. And we're always, that's what we want to do. We want to just show people that this actually is a way. I know, I've got to be honest. I've been working in the field for 13 years. I've been in recovery for 20 years. Myself, I've seen a lot of things grow and change. We're always coming over on to Birkenhead was one of the best things for recovery, I personally think.
Did it save your life?
That's happened. Recovery saved my life. I was in recovery before I went to work in the field. I've been working at Whittle Ways for 3 years. We got 2P'd over from the last position I was in. But recovery definitely saves my life and continues to do today, because my belief is that I'm always in it. And I'm not here to try and put that, change anyone's mind or put that belief on someone. I'm just here to plant seeds. And same as what I do in work, I think that's what my role really should be about, is ideeing with someone's problem, getting where we could be working on first, because it could be someone's could be in a real bad situation and it's life or death. So to certain areas we have to look at first before that. But recovery is really big on the agenda.
We've got David Dunn with us in the studio from We're All Ways to Recovery as well. We'll come on to Andrew Cass, one of the managers there as well. Let's bring Elliot into the conversation. Elliot, thank you for your time as well. I noticed some of the things that David was saying about the thoughts, the feelings. You were kind of nodding your head along with it. Just tell us about your own experience in regard to this.
My experience, I grew up in Birmingham and I done a lot of bad things and took quite a few drugs and drank and stuff as well. But I would never have had recovery and clean time if I never came to the Wirral, because in Birmingham there was all sort of drug services and there wasn't that helpful and never give me the light and the pathway to see clearly. I came over here, I was still using when I came over here, but the past 69 days I've been clean off everything, and I really do owe it to Wirral Base Recovery, because I went in there a mess and I've come out the other side now. The services they offer they're amazing, because there's so much that you can do there. You can do, there's foundation courses which I'm on. There's Foundations of Change, Foundations of Growth and Foundations of Life. Foundations of Change is the first group. It's wanting to make a change in your life and sort of learning about yourself for 4 to 6 weeks, and it's pretty amazing, because I learned a lot in them 4 to 6 weeks, and I'm in Foundations of Growth now, and it's learning to communicate and what you can do in recovery, how you can achieve certain things, the way to move forward. I'm not in life yet, but I will get to that stage. And as I say, with Ways to Recovery, it's not just the foundations. I've got like a group called Radar, they've got a group called Smart Recovery, which is peer-led. So people who are in recovery and abstinent, they sit in a group and talk about what's going on for them and how you can resolve it if people are struggling. And I never really had the support I had until I came to Wirral Ways to Recovery, until I came to Birkenhead, because as I say in Birmingham, it's not that many things you can do. I got told that I'd use again every time I went to a drug service, and what ended up happening was I'd use again. I went to Wirral Ways to Recovery and they said, we can help you, and they've helped me stay clean for 6 or 9 days. So for me, I think recovery has saved my life, because if I wasn't in recovery now, I'd still be out there. I would either be in jail or I would either be dead.
That's a really open and honest sort of representation of the journey you've been on, Elliot. Let me ask you about this. You mentioned that the offers of help or the different services which you're offered in the West Midlands. What was the difference there, do you think? You know, what was it? You know, was it about the sort of the human touch that came with it? Was it about that sort of interaction, maybe?
It's like, I'd go to a drug service in Birmingham, and if they, because I was obviously heavily in addiction, because they thought they always passed help, which I wasn't, because I came here and got help, they'd say to me, oh, you're going to use again. I'd get like a week or 2 weeks clean, or a couple of days clean, you're going to use again, and I'd use again. They're telling me I'm going to use again, so that's already give me permission to go out there and do what I was doing before. I came here and they said, we can help you. No one's ever wanted to help me. So I was struck back. I was like, that, wow, these people are actually willing to give it a go to try and save my life. And not only did they save my life, I'm saving my life now by staying in recovery and doing the things I do from day to day. I go to the Nightingales Cafe nearly every day, because if I stay in my own head. My head will have me off. So I have to sit with people and connect with people from a day-to-day basis who are in recovery, people who are struggling. Because if I can help someone who's struggling, or if I'm struggling and they can help me, that to me is two addicts or two alcoholics working together as parallel people.
Well, Dave, let me ask you this, without being going into the psychology of this one there. So Elliot, in terms of his experience with services which he otherwise would have interacted with, he's not had a great response there. You obviously see Elliot come your way and you think, we can offer something. Now, what did you kind of see in him in terms of his journey that made you think, you know what, these foundations courses are going to be right? And although he's had slip backs and step backs in the past, that's been because of the environment he's in, and our environment's a different one.
It's what I see in him is what I see if every single person who walks through that door. It's anyone who walks through the door can recover. And that's what you've got to see in people when you walk in. It doesn't matter where they're at, what state they're in, or what condition they're in. I mean, somebody could walk through the doors being a pain. That person can recover. You've got to have that attitude. You've got to have that thought process of, not this person can get it. And that's what we've got to try and encourage and try and do. And this is what we did with Elias. As soon as he walked in the doors, we said, you don't have to use again. You've got choices here. You know how to use. You know how to drink. You're really good at that. The problem is, you just don't know not to. And that's what we can show you. That's what we can, like, we can put you onto people who can show you how not to. I mean, people might come in and say, look, I'm a real bad place here, but I feel like I could possibly drink successfully. That's not to say, it's what we'll do. We'll work with you, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it works, great. It's your call. It's your journey. We just want to complement that. But we want to try and show you that there is a different way.
Sure. Well, I was going to ask you about that because, of course, you know, maybe Elliot's experience there, those services which were giving Elliot the information that wasn't right for him, I guess may have been right for other people, and that way of using that system may work for other people, but in Elliot's case, it's not. I guess you guys have been the correct alternative there, that you're fostering that idea of sort of an inclusive space where you can come in and you go, well, you know what, there's grounds for their recovery. Any kind of stigma that may or may not come with it doesn't exist in here, and we can offer you something a little bit different.
It's exactly what we do. It's what we offer. We offer something different. It's not repeating the same thing, expecting different consequences. Are we offering something else? I've worked with people over the past 13 years. I've worked alongside people. I've learnt a lot from professionals that I've worked with. I'm not just talking about people who are in recovery themselves, which is where I got a lot of my recovery from at the beginning. I've learnt a hell of a lot from people who work in the services. I might not have walked in my shoes. There's a whole network out there. It's whatever you want to tap into. I've worked with people who I thought, you're never going to get this. Never going to get this as a sort. It'd be nice if you got it, but you're just not going to get this. I've seen him years later and he said, you know what, I'm doing all right. I've got 12 months under my belt. I've not picked anything up. You planted loads of seeds. Your service planted seeds in me back then. So that, for me, it might not be an overnight. I mean, Elliot come in, something clicked with him, and that's great. That's fantastic. But I've got to be on a scale long term as well. Just plant the seeds. And they'll develop and they'll grow. If they don't, they don't. But, you know, that's what I believe the service should be about.
Mental Health Monday.
On Radio City Talk.
With Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
We've got David and Elliot in the studio. We're talking about rural ways to recovery today. We've got the manager, Andrew Cass, in the studio too. Andrew, thank you for your time. Sorry, I keep you hanging on in the conversation. David and Elliot have been fantastic in terms of the work that they do. Just tell us about the bricks and mortar, if you like, of rural ways to recovery for people who step through the door. What do they experience? What do they see?
Okay, so we've got what are called health and wellbeing hubs right across the Wirral. There's four main hubs. There's the one in Wallasey, which is on Brighton Street. There's our Birkenhead hub, which is on Conway Street at the bottom by the tunnel. We've also got Nightingale's Cafe, which Elliot referred to earlier. And also in Birkenhead, we've got our abstinence hub, which is the Spider Project. We work in conjunction with them. Excuse me. A bit wider afield, we've got a health and wellbeing hub in Morton by the main roundabout. People will know where that is in Morton. And also in South Wirral at the Parkfield Surgery, which is within a GP surgery. I think each of those hubs have their own sort of dynamics. The GP surgery is very much as you'd expect from a GP surgery, and that's That's really good because there's a level of anonymity there. The other hubs are much more about kind of working together and like what we call a co-production partnership, where it's about people coming in, working with us, working with our team. The lads have referred earlier to the fact that we've got people who work there and paid, like David. But then we've also got our peer mentors, our volunteers, and we're always looking for people to come and work with us. The more people that we've got, the better the service that we can provide to others. In terms of what they look like, I'm really conscious that entering that door of our hub is like it's a major breakthrough for somebody. So to actually try and picture what it looks like and imagine what it's going to be like behind that door is quite an important task. And it's one of the things which I'm conscious that potentially could put people off. What I would say is they are health and wellbeing hubs, and it's about walking through the door, meeting people who aren't going to judge you. The fact that you've come in the first place is the most important bit, and we want to work with you to address and work with you the stage that you're at. So whether that's about from a harm reduction perspective, through to, you know, somebody who's quite in recovery, but is sort of a little bit, I need some additional support. So it's the full sort of range really of services. Nice, bright, airy offices. I'd like to say the nice place to be.
I think the reason people sort of get apprehensive about the idea of, I've walked past that, or I've been past there before, or I know where that is, and that thing of, but that's the door. We were speaking with the team based up at the Life Rooms in Liverpool, and they were saying one of the things that they have is they always smile at people as they walk through the door, because it's kind of like, you're here, so you're obviously of a certain mindset. The fact you've stepped through this door in the first place, now let's start that conversation.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the different hubs as well. Do you base that around the geography, or do you have someone's like specialists within different hubs?
They're based on geography. So it's the same service that we offer in all of our hubs. It's the same offer. Some are busier than others, as you'd sort of kind of expect. But it's exactly the same sort of range of interventions that we offer, and it's not just within the hubs that we've got. There's other places that we go out, so I'm really conscious that it's important to meet people where they're at as well, not just about expecting people to kind of come in. So we do work with GPs, but then we also put on other events around the world. So we've got something called Building Recovering Communities, where we've got groups that are set up. So one of them is the Silverbacks group, which is about working with men. I think there's quite a lot of support groups for women, and men sometimes can be not forgotten about, but perhaps thought about differently. And with the Silverbacks, we try and tap into some of the more male
good name for
things
it, isn't
to
it?
Do. Yeah, but there's a whole range there. And I think it's, if you look at our website, our organisation is CGL, Change, Grow, Live, and we're Oasis to Recovery is the sort of brand name, if you like, for what we offer in the world. If you Google We're Always to Recovery and just have a look on the website about what we offer, it's got the full list in there of where we're based. And there's also a referral form on it too.
To tell me about referrals, because depending on which organisation we have, sometimes people are like, step through the door, you're in the right place. Some people will say you need to be referred by a clinician or psychologist, whoever it may be. How does it work?
So we're open to a whole range of referrals. If you want to, you can literally walk in yourself and we do open assessments. So you can come in straight away. We'll get somebody to support you and start working with you, or at least as soon as we can. GP referral, hospital referral, other organisations. So we work with quite a lot of organisations across the world, like Tomorrow's Women, Spider's already mentioned, whole range of other third sector.
Hospital.
Yeah, hospital services, the hospital alcohol team. But literally, do it yourself, contact us via the web. Our telephone number is 015-1556-1335. You can just ring that number and book yourself in, or a friend to refer. We're quite happy with whichever way. One of the new schemes that we have just started is with the cafe. And if you go to your GP, and again, I'm conscious that you've gone to your GP, and if a GP refers you, there's still that sort of fear of going to a hub, and perhaps you are a bit apprehensive about people seeing you going into a substance misuse hub. With the cafe, we've got an opportunity there where you can get a card from your GP, and you can actually go in, show the card, And somebody will know that you're there for an assessment. It's not about having to walk up and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm here for a 2 o'clock appointment. We'll know by the fact that you're giving us that card.
So that's you sit down with your latte and then somebody just comes comes and sits next to you.
Yeah.
And that's as relaxed an environment, presumably, as you're able to create. Absolutely, as well. Loads of stuff you're going on. You've got this event coming up, let me get this right, on the 19th of July. This is running at Birkenhead Town Hall. Just tell us about the event itself.
Okay, so I think this is our third.
It's our third, yeah.
And I've got to be honest, we kind of took the concept from the Lancashire User Forum, who do lots of forums across Lancashire, which is where I first came into contact with it. And we decided to put on something similar over on the Wirral. So this is our third one. It's on the 19th. I think it starts at 10.
Starts at 10. We're going to have stalls. We're going to have it's for all services basically in the Wirral. All our services are going to be there. We're going to kind of get together. We're going to promote not just what we do at Wirral Ways, but what other services do. And it's open for anyone as well. It's not just service users, family, loved ones, friends. It's open for anyone.
And
you get a free lunch.
That's Birkenhead Town Hall.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Which is just off Hamilton Square.
Yeah.
19th of July, 10:30, says on the poster.
Oh, okay.
You lot have got to be there for 10, though.
10 o'clock. You need to make sure. Stall.
Says there's a raffle here, so someone's got to sort all those tickets out. You've got half an hour to do that, running until 3 o'clock. And that number, again, I'll mention that, 01515561335. If you type in Wirral Ways to Recovery, it does come straight up on your search engines as well. Nightingales. Ellie, tell us, what's on the Nightingales menu that that's always the winner?
There's a range of stuff. There's always it's not like a menu where you have to spend loads of money. It's all reasonably priced, and if you the happy results, if you can't afford a cup of tea, they've got something called a kindness, a kindness drink, and they'll take out of a pot and give you a cup of tea, or if you need something to eat, you can get a voucher and have something to eat. But it's good. One of the best things are the cheese and ham toasties, I've got to say. I've got to give the chef the cheese and ham toasties shout out, because they are nice. They are.
There we go. The absolute recommendation.
Can I just add there? I think it's really important just to say that we work on a donations basis for the cafe, and any money that we do make is put back into activities for people. Mm. It's a not-for-profit cafe. And also, I just wanted to pick up just on, we're talking today about Wirral Waste Recovery, but I think it's really important that wherever somebody lives, to get in touch with the local support organisation. And yeah, the service that Elliot was with before perhaps didn't kind of address his needs, but that doesn't mean that for somebody else it won't.
No, absolutely. And I always think, doing this programme, sometimes people, the first point of contact might not be the right point of contact. I think you said, David, that the advice from the wrong people or the right advice at the wrong time, depending on who it is. But actually, it's about having those different organisations. If one thing doesn't work for you, actually, the next thing might work. And if it takes a couple of goes, then great. If the third thing is the thing that makes the connection, then if that's the start of the journey, at least then that's the start of the journey.
Yeah. I think it's difficult, isn't it, for some people walking through them doors sometimes. And it's about how we approach that. And, to be fair, Elliot just might have met someone who he felt didn't get the right information from or the right advice from. Doesn't mean to say that the next person comes to the door wouldn't say that right advice. So he just came into Wirral Ways and he felt he got the right advice from there.
In terms of the ages and sort of backgrounds of people, what's your experience, David, in terms of those people who are thinking, that might not be for me? Give us an idea. The different types of people, ages, male, female, is it something for literally anybody and everybody?
It's absolutely for anybody. We are seeing more and more younger people coming in for addictions, painkillers and tablets and stuff like that. That's kind of I'm seeing that a growing thing with that lately. But it's for absolutely anybody. It doesn't matter how old you are. I don't think you're ever too young or too old to get recovery if that's what you want. I think recovery is a fantastic. It will be a great place if everyone was in recovery.
No, absolutely.
Imagine Donald Trump on recovery. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
We give you half an hour in a room with him. And you see what comes out the other side.
Put him on a programme.
I tell you what, he's coming over, isn't he? It might coincide with the event at the town hall.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
We'll see if that's something we can make happen.
I think it's anybody can walk in the door, and it's just showing that you don't have to be alone with this. I mean, sometimes, you know, sitting off in your own head's not always a good place for you to be sitting, is it? And if you're able to just pick up the phone, you're able to go out, you're able to communicate, you talk to somebody and get you through them moments, it makes a massive difference in someone's life. And that's what we want to do when people walk in the door, is you're not alone, you're not on your own. No one's on their own. It's an addiction. No one.
And Elliot, it seems like it genuinely is making a difference to your life.
Oh yeah, completely. Recovery's completely changed my life. Like, the outlook I had on life when I was in addiction was I need to do this, I need to do that. There's nothing for me out there. I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to be able to do that. I've done a lot of bad things, and a lot of bad things haven't been rectified, but I know that I can achieve the things that I wanted to achieve in addiction in recovery, because I wanted to achieve them in addiction, but it was never going to happen. But I know now I'm in recovery, I can achieve them. Things like, I want a nice house, I want a nice car, I want to have children. But I also want to be able to respect myself and respect others while I'm doing it. Because I had no self-respect, I had no emotion. I was emotionless for over a decade. So basically, to be in recovery is give me all that back. I've lost contact with family members, but I know it's not going to be tomorrow, today or next week. But I know through recovery, I'll gain it all back. I've gained friends, and I've gained like new people that I class as family. Because people from newer ways and people from certain fellowships that I go to are my family. I've classed them as my family because they've helped me, and I can help them. And without being going to a wage recovery, without the cafe being there and the services that are provided, like I said before, I wouldn't be in recovery, and I wouldn't be clean, and I wouldn't be sober now.
Thank you for being so honest about your journey today. Really appreciate you coming on. We wish you all the best in your continued recovery as well. David, it's been great hearing about the work that you do as well. And Andrew, if people want to go to that website, then get all the information. Sure. Wirralways2recovery.co.uk, but just type in into a Google engine. Yeah. Just Google.
Can I just say, if anybody, you know, wants to call, you can call any time. Just go onto the website, get the number. I can give you a vote. It's 0151-556-1335. If you're struggling, give us a call. You know, maybe we can help.
And the event itself, Birkenhead Town Hall, 19th of July, 10:30 until 3 p.m. It says here, speakers, refreshments, lunch provided, information stalls and a raffle as well.
That event, we really want to kind of a feel-good event on that. We want to really promote all the good stuff that's going on in the world and the surrounding areas in Northern Liverpool as well, you know, with the stuff that we do with the likes of Sharp and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's going to be a feel-good event. It's going to be, you know, what's out there, and we're going to see the lives that we've helped to change.
We're all ways to recovery. This week's guests on Radio City Talk. My name's Mick Coyle, and if you want to be part of Mental Health Monday, you want to get more information, my email address never changes, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk. We're all ways to recovery.co.uk, the website you can check out there. And that number, it's been mentioned a couple of times, but we'll mention it again, 0151 556 1335. That website's got all the details as well. The event taking place at Birkenhead Town Hall. You're with Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.